In the United States last week, at the end of March, the S&P 500 reached another milestone, marking its 20th record closure of the year. Meanwhile, on the same day, the Dow Jones Industrial Average saw a significant surge, adding 475 points in a single session. Such statistics underscore a buoyant mood in the US market, contrasting quite significantly with the atmosphere here in South Africa. Our Johannesburg Stock Exchange has not celebrated a new high in over 12 months, with the trend predominantly downward. This disparity prompts critical questions about the timing of a resurgence for the JSE and the implications for investors. When exactly will it be our time to shine? To explore these issues, we're joined today by Siyiso Matlanyane, Head of Equities at Prescient Investment Management. So, from a prescient perspective, and the company has been managing assets for over 25 years, why is the South African stock market not experiencing the same jubilation as in the US?
Hi, Jeanette. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be on the platform. Well, I have a few points. I would just mention a few points on why there's such a contrast in performance relative to the US market from a South African perspective. And I think the major thing that investors must understand is also that there's quite a lot of concentration in the US performance. So we're looking at this recently, and a lot of that US performance, that strong performance, has really been driven by the Magnificent Seven. So if you look at the S&P 500, for instance, since 2022, December, it rose about 36%, and 30% of that was the Magnificent Seven. So there's quite a lot of concentration. And even though you have some shares that have done really well, like Nvidia, you also have some shares that have done not so bad, like Tesla, but all within that tech stable, which has buoyed the US market. The other point that I would make is that the US has a relatively strong labor market than the South African market. So their unemployment is somewhere around the region of 3.7 versus ours, which is around 32%. That obviously leads to a lot more money in the system. Consumerism is big in the US and it supports corporate margins. And if I can make two more points on that, I think the South African equity market is very much foreigner investor driven. And we have a big event coming up at the end of next month, the 29th of May. And most investors, international investors, are sort of sitting on the sidelines waiting for that risk event to happen. And yeah, the South African market also has a certain amount of reliance on China. And there's been this backdrop of negativity around the Chinese market. And that obviously filters through into our market.
So, I mean, you just explained it's actually a spread of factors, risk factors endemic to our own economy, like the big event on the 29th, when we do go to the election polls. But I mean, it is a big election year for many economies in the world. So, I mean, I know we are comparing the US to South Africa, but that last record high on the JSE was reached more than a year ago. And, the trend has been downward since then. So, what would it take to get our stock market going again?
Yeah, true. So that's an interesting point that you make that, yeah, the GSC, if you look at it on a specific metric, or you look at the all share, for instance, or even the top 40, it has trended down. But I think it's important to note as well that you've had other subsectors within the Johannesburg Stock Exchange that have done really well. For instance, property has had a really good run. I think it's up over 25% in the last 6 months, if I'm not mistaken. And, an argument could be made that that sector is actually a good representation or a better representation of the fundamentals of the SA economy. In terms of what it would take to get our stock market going again, well, I think at Prescient, we always think about investing in a very systematic way. So we consider certain factors. And if we look at these factors, so the South African market, what we do have going for us is valuation. So our stocks are quite cheap. So there's value to be unlocked in our stock market. And if you look at things like price to earnings ratios, for instance, so the JSE is sitting at about 10.5 versus the US, which is sitting at very expensive valuations of around 25 times earnings. Same goes for price to book, price to sales, even relative earnings. So we have valuations on our side. And then the other factors that we look at are economics. We look at financial conditions, and we look at sentiment. So in terms of economics, I've already mentioned that our labor market is a lot weaker than you have in the US. Financial conditions, they're tight in the sense that interest rates are quite high, which is driven by, again, restrictive monetary policy. But what we really have going against us from a South African perspective is sentiment. And the biggest detractor for that, especially investor sentiment towards the country, and that is largely driven by the elections. So I think if we can turn our economics around, which, again, that's more of a long-term goal, get growth going, get unemployment down, financial conditions, again, that's just monetary policy, the big detractor there. So when rates come down, that will eventually lessen up. And then sentiments, just get through the elections and we should see an uplift, again, dependent on what outcome we have, but we should see an uplift in the equity market. We definitely have the valuations going for us though.
So, I mean, if we talk about sentiments, my perception is that that is quite difficult to change. You've just mentioned that if we can just get through the elections, but obviously there's a little bit more to that. Some of those long-term factors, getting the economy going again, etc. But is it going to be as simple, like, you know, a month after elections and things have settled down, then the sentiment is going to change? Or are we sometimes at the mercy of other developing markets as well and being lumped in there with them?
Yeah, so, you know, you're right in that, you know, sentiment is a tricky thing to try and change. It's more mainly driven also by perception. But I think that it can change quite rapidly. And I was actually looking at a report which was basically analyzing the RAND movements post elections historically. And what you can see is that there's always a big move after we've had elections in our RAND. And again, the RAND being driven by money either coming into the country or going out of the country. So also a very good indication of foreign investor sentiment. And whenever you're leading up to a big event with a lot of unknowns, we don't know what the, you know, leadership of the country will look like, what sort of coalition we'll get. And of course, that also influences fiscal policy, what type of spending policies are going to be implemented in the new regime. Investors tend to sort of hold back and at least let that, or just wait for that risk event to go through and then make an informed decision. So sentiment can turn on a dime. So as soon as, I think, either way, as soon as we get through this risk event that's keeping foreigners out of the market, or sort of on the sidelines, then we should see, you know, sort of clear direction as to where the country is going, and then investors will make an informed decision.
You've mentioned the concentration that is evident in the US market and all, you know, linked around the big seven, et cetera, Magnificent Seven. But if we look at the JSE, we've seen delistings on an ongoing basis for quite some time. What does that mean for the diversity that's available for an investor on the JSE? And do you see that changing in the future?
Yeah, so this delisting concern, particularly on the JSE, has been ongoing for quite some time. And I think from a concentration perspective, we've seen certain moves in the industries, such as the recent harmonization, which was implemented now in March, trying to sort of get rid of, or at least apply the same treatment to counters and come up with a more representative index for our market. But certainly, if we have more and more companies delisting, there will be a similar concentration issue within our market. I mean, we already have it to some extent, but there have been some countermeasures as well to ensure that the broad indices, and when people look at our market, they measure it using the, you know, the broadest terms available. So using what's available for the South African investors. But again, there's always going to be a need for capital. So companies require capital to grow. They require capital to, you know, fund their operations, to keep working. And whether that is sourced within the listed or the unlisted space, there's always going to be a requirement for capital. And on top of that, there is now the opportunity to go offshore in a significantly bigger chunk. And what that means is it opens up all that capital to the diversity that's offered in the offshore equity space.
So you've led us into the diversity discussion. I mean, obviously with Regulation 28 and the bigger chunk, as you call it, that can now be invested offshore. Prescient has been managing assets on behalf of retirement funds, medical aid schemes, corporates, trusts, and individuals for 25 years. So considering all we've discussed now and the availability or, you know, the space to go a little bit more offshore, what would you say to investors in our market at the moment? Should they also wait for the risk event to pass in May? Or should they actually grab onto the opportunity because there is value in our listed environment on the stock exchange?
Yes, obviously I'm an equity manager, so I will have a certain amount of bullishness towards the equity markets, but particularly when we have such good valuations behind us, there tends to be an overbearing amount of pessimism sort of from locals. And I think that, you know, applying a systematic approach and just looking at what the numbers show will show that there is value to be unlocked. And of course, we understand that, you know, just because something is cheap doesn't mean it's a bargain. It could be cheap for a reason, and it could be cheap for long periods of time before it starts to realize that value. But there's definitely value. So for that, I would say, you know, whenever you see value, you should definitely act on that. And then we're going into, I think, the discussion around interest rates and monetary policy. Like I said, what we need is to turn that sentiment. And we also know where financial conditions are going. We might be uncertain about the timing, but we know that rates are eventually going to start coming down as inflation also subsides. And that is typically very good for emerging market investments, and South Africa therefore has another thing going for it. So yeah, there's a lot of factors. I can go on and on about, you know, why there's definitely risks as well on the other side, but I think on the balance of probabilities, we are cautiously optimistic, and certain sectors definitely offer, we're more positive on certain aspects of the equity markets than we are on others. But there's definitely a case to be made for listed equity investing.
So you have admitted your bias, obviously, to be slightly bullish and cautiously optimistic. But do you think we might see another record high for the JSE later this year? Or considering the sentiment and some of the risks involved, will it be, you know, a slow turnaround or a slow growth that we're looking at?
So personally, I mean, I try not to make too much in the way of predictions. And yeah, so my bias is more so from a, not from an investment perspective, but I suppose from the point of view that I'm speaking from. But I mean, looking at it objectively and systematically, I think that, again, going into a rate cutting cycle is usually a risk on event. You get, you know, yield seeking assets that need to find a home. And that definitely bodes well for emerging markets, and therefore I don't see a reason that you know, provided that we get through some of these risk events, there's always a backdrop of risks, but as we get through them, there's no reason that we can't see record highs for the JSE within the next year or so.
So the challenges facing the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, including ongoing delistings, subdued economic growth, it certainly casts shadows over its immediate prospects. However, this does not signal the end of opportunities. And let's hope that after some of these risk events, including the election, we will start seeing investors unlocking the value that can be found. So for discretionary fund managers, asset managers, pension funds, and individual investors, the local market still holds potential for gains. And it is wise, though, to broaden investment horizons, incorporating a diverse geographical spread to seize the opportunities wherever they arise. That was Siiso Matlanyane, Head of Equities at Prescient Investment Management.